We're going to be here for about an hour, and I think we will start with the public health section of the bill, and so who's going to do that one? Let's go through the side by sides.
Mr. Chair, I'll be working off the summary comparison. This is Senate Article 1 and it's House Article 5. Section is Section 1, and this is a Senate-only section, and this establishes the Health Improvement Fund. Section 2 of the Senate and Section 1 of the House establishes the statewide Health Improvement Program. And in this walkthrough, do you want to go through the differences? Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay. Subdivision 1. Goals, and in both the Senate and the House, they provide goals to reduce rates of overweight, obesity, and tobacco use. The Senate includes the goal of reducing misuse of alcohol and use of illegal drugs as one of the goals. The House specifies the percentage by which the rates of overweight, obesity, and tobacco use should be reduced and permits the Commissioner of Health to make recommendations as future goals related to alcohol and illegal drug use. Subdivision 2 deals with the grants to local communities. The Senate requires the Commissioner of Health to award grants to community health boards and tribal governments to implement strategies to accomplish stated goals. The Senate then states what is required of the grant activities and requires the submitted proposals to be to meet funding phases. The House requires the Commissioner of Health to fund community health boards in order for them to implement programs to reach the stated goals. It specifies that the funding must be distributed on a per capita basis with a $50,000 base allocation for each community health board. Subdivision 3 deals with the outcomes of this program, and both the House and Senate require the Commissioner of Health to set measurable outcomes and annually review the progress. House adds language that would require the Commissioner to provide technical assistance and corrective action plans to ensure progress, and includes a provision that an individual's BMI may not be measured or collected for a public health study without a Tennyson warning and signed written consent.
Subdivision. Ms. Kavanaugh, could you go back to the previous page and subdivision 2? What's the difference between awarding a grant and provide funding?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference. A lot of this is different wording. I suppose they would have to, the Senate specifies that it has to go through a grant process.
Senator Burgum.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think part of the difference here is in the Senate we envisioned that at least in some communities there might be a competitive process, and therefore whoever was selected would be awarded a grant. I think the House process more or less envisions community health boards all just getting a certain amount of money based on their population. And so,
okay. Thank you.
You know, in that case, there would just be a certain amount of funding that would be given to each.
Continue, please.
Okay, and subdivision 4 of the Senate requires the Commissioner to provide technical assistance and training to the grant recipients. Some of the technical assistance and oversight language is in House Subdivision 3, the Senate does have a separate subdivision for that. Senate Subdivision 5 and House Subdivision 4 talks about conducting an evaluation of the program. Senate requires the commissioner to conduct a biennial evaluation of the program and requires the grantees to cooperate with the commissioner in evaluation and to provide the necessary information. And the House requires the commissioner to conduct just an evaluation, doesn't specify how often. The program using outcome measures and requires local communities to cooperate with the commissioner in the evaluation. Senate has Subdivision 6, which requires the commissioner to submit a biennial report to the legislature on the program. And Subdivision 7 is a Senate opening that states that the community health boards and tribal governments must use the funds to develop new programs or and may not supplant current state or federal funding. Section 3 is a Senate-only provision, and this establishes the public health improvement assessment on hospitals and nonprofit health plan companies. And this sets up an assessment for calendar year 2008 of 0.15 of net patient revenue or premium revenue. For calendar years 2009-2012, the assessment will be adjusted by the Commissioner of Health not to exceed 0.3% of net patient revenue or premium revenue. Then Senate Section 4, this is Senate only. This requires the Commissioner of Health to establish and implement a program to monitor the rates of childhood overweight and obesity by collecting and analyzing BMI data. And then the last section is Section 2 of the House, and that appropriates $20 million from the Healthcare Access Fund for the statewide health improvement program. And the Senate funds this program, as previously discussed, through the assessment. Article 1.
Mr. Chair, Article 2 and the House Article 1 is the health care home article. House Section 1, and again, we're operating off the comparison summary. House Section 1 would require the commissioner, when developing and implementing a patient incentive program, to collaborate with the Commissioner of Health and community-based organizations that conduct chronic disease consumer education programs to avoid duplication of effort. Then Senate Section 1, House Section 2 are enrollee requirements related to health care homes. Subdivision 1 requires directs the commissioner to encourage state health care program enrollees to select a primary care clinic or medical group, and beginning July 1 of 2009 to encourage enrollees who have a complex or chronic condition to select a clinic or medical group at which clinicians have been certified as healthcare homes. There are only technical differences in this subdivision. Subdivision 2 is a requirement related to initial health assessments. And the difference here is that there's some difference in wording. The Senate requires the commissioner to encourage enrollees to complete an assessment. House refers to obtaining an assessment. The Senate also refers to the initial assessment being used to identify individuals who are at risk of developing complex or chronic conditions, and the House doesn't have this language about being at risk. So this is a difference that, you know, appears elsewhere between the bills, and there are also some technical changes. Subdivision 3 relates to the provision of patient education and outreach. There's some technical differences, but the main difference here is that the House requires the commissioner to develop and implement an outreach program to provide a per-enrollee bonus to licensed providers and nonprofit organizations, and this is not in the Senate bill. Subdivision 4 is identical in both bills. It defines state health care program. Then Senate Section 2, House Section 3 provide definitions and also establish health care homes. Subdivision 1 is the definition section, and there are only technical differences. Subdivision 2 relates to criteria for establishing healthcare homes. Again, the Senate has language about enrollees being at risk of developing complex or chronic conditions. And then the House adds some additional requirements. It states that the healthcare home requirements must be consistent with the standards developed by a nationally recognized independent accrediting organization. House requires commissioners to consider features of the proposals for integrated community initiatives. These were the community partnerships that were established in the 2007 budget bill. And then the House requires the commission to study the feasibility of expanding healthcare homes to all enrollees and then report to the legislature. And then there are also technical differences. Subdivision 3 requires the commissioners to begin certification of healthcare homes. The House, the difference is that the House allows the commissioner to waive some requirements to certify healthcare homes that serve special patient populations of diverse race, language, or ethnicity. The Senate doesn't include this provision, and there are also technical differences. Then Senate Section 3, House Section 4 are the requirements for healthcare homes. In Subdivision 1, the difference is that the Senate requires providers to meet criteria established by a managed care plan, if this is approved by the commissioner. The House requires providers to meet the criteria in the previous section, and there's a technical difference. Then Subdivision 2 deals with the patient-provider relationship and care teams. There's some difference in wording. The Senate requires patients to have a long-term relationship with a primary care provider, refers to providing care for all of a patient's needs. This language is not in the House. The House specifies that physicians' assistants must be allowed to serve as personal clinicians, and the Senate does not do this. And there's some technical differences. Then Subdivision 3 relates to care coordination. And there are various differences in terminology. But then some of the other differences are that the House requires care coordination to be provided in a manner appropriate to the patient's race, ethnicity, and language. The House would allow the personal clinician and care team to use county health care and social service providers to coordinate care. And finally, the House states that the selection of a health care home does not limit the ability to seek care from other providers. And there are also some technical differences. Subdivision 4 lists criteria for care delivery. There are some technical differences. The House in paragraph B would require participation in decision-making by persons who are healthcare agents under the healthcare directive law. And also, the House refers to a primary care team. Then in paragraph C, the House refers to minimum standards specified by the commissioners for use of health information technology and registries and has language related to patient consent. Paragraphs D, E, and F are identical in the two bills. And then paragraph G is House only. It requires healthcare homes to offer services to all their patients with complex or chronic conditions. Subdivision 5 deals with or requires healthcare homes to meet process, outcome, and quality standards. It's identical in both bills. Subdivision 6 requires healthcare homes to develop, maintain, and ensure implementation of a comprehensive care plan. One of the differences is that the Senate requires healthcare homes to encourage enrollees who are determined by an initial assessment to either have or be at risk of a complex condition to complete a comprehensive health assessment. And House does not include this language. Also, the Senate language on comprehensive care plans refers to enrollees who are at risk of developing a complex or chronic condition. And another difference is that the House requires the comprehensive care plan to be culturally appropriate. And the Senate does not include this language. Subdivision 7 deals with requirements for care coordinators. Again, there are a number of differences. Differences in language. The Senate requires healthcare homes to directly manage or employ care coordinators to manage the care provided. The House refers to utilizing care providers to manage this care. Again, there's the reference to complex or chronic conditions being specified by the commissioners in the Senate bill. The House does not have this language. The House requires care coordinators to be trained to provide services appropriate for the race, ethnicity, and language of the patient. and there are also technical differences. Subdivision 8 requires healthcare homes to participate in healthcare home collaboratives. This language is identical except for technical differences. Then moving to Section 4, which establishes a care coordination fee. The main difference is that the house requires, in Subdivision 2, the house requires the fee to be determined by the commissioner in contracts with healthcare homes. The Senate doesn't include this language. Also in Subdivision 2, the Senate specifies that thresholds of care complexity include the time and resources needed for patients with limited language skills, cultural differences, or other barriers to care. The House doesn't phrase it this way, but instead states that the highest fees are to be paid to providers who serve individuals who face racial, ethnic, or language barriers. Then Subdivision 3 requires cost neutrality in implementing the fee. The Senate allows the commissioner to reduce payment rates for non-primary care services if savings from healthcare homes do not allow cost-neutral implementation of the care coordination fee. The House requires the commissioner to reallocate costs within the healthcare system. Senate Section 5, House Section 6, deals with the duties of the commissioners related to healthcare homes. There's some technical differences, but then the main difference is that the House adds a paragraph F, and this basically says that the commissioners need to adopt rules to implement the previous paragraphs. The previous paragraphs deal with commissioners establishing certification standards, establishing care complexity thresholds and payment amounts. Commissioners are to identify criteria to determine enrollees eligible for and in need of care coordination. They are to establish criteria and data collection procedures to evaluate healthcare homes. And finally, to establish requirements for managed care plan contracts, performance incentives, and withholds, and also a method to identify and recapture managed care savings. Subdivision 2 would require the commissioner to ensure the collection from healthcare homes of data necessary to monitor implementation, measure and evaluate quality of care and outcomes, measure and evaluate patient experience, and determine cost savings. The difference here is that the House requires quality measures to include measures of disparities in treatment, health status, and outcomes based on race, ethnicity, and language. Then Subdivision 3, this is the requirement that a care coordination advisory committee be established. And there are numerous differences here, which I won't go over all of them. They're mainly dealing with the governance of the care coordination committee. And then one of the major differences is that the Senate specifies that the committee expires on June 30th of 2013, and the House just states that the committee does not expire. Subdivision 4, both bills, requires the commissioners to establish a healthcare home collaborative to allow the exchange of information. There are just some technical differences here. Subdivision 5 would require the commissioner to develop a patient-directed decision-making support model for healthcare homes. The differences are that the House has some language related to the decision-making process being culturally appropriate. Difference in terminology, House refers to language interpreters, Senate to translators, and then there's a technical difference. Then Subdivision 6 relates to reports on standards and also annual reports. The House adds a paragraph A. This relates to the reporting of draft standards and other measures to the legislative committees. This is not in the Senate bill. The Senate has a January 15th reporting date for the annual report. The House has a December 15th date. The Senate requires reporting to the legislative chairs, the House to the legislature. Then the House, in various clauses, requires enrollee data to be broken down by income, race, ethnicity, and language, and requires the report to include information on the impact on health disparities and also criteria that are waived by the commissioners for demonstration providers. The Senate specifies that information on healthcare home payment arrangements applies to managed care plans. This is not in the House bill. Then the House requires the report to cover fee-for-service, managed care, and the county-based purchasing sectors. The Senate does not include a specific reference to county-based purchasing. And then there are technical differences. Senate Section 6, House Section 7 deal with application of the healthcare home model to managed care, and in the case of the House, to county-based purchasing. As mentioned, the Senate applies the subdivision to managed care plans, the House to demonstration providers, and this term includes both managed care plans and county-based purchasing. So this change, this difference occurs throughout. Again, the Senate refers to the healthcare home model, providing care to enrollees who have or are at risk of developing a complex or chronic condition. This is not included in the House language. The House adds language that directs the commissioner, as a condition of contract, to pay demonstration providers a care coordination fee. This is not in the Senate bill. Then paragraph B of the Senate, paragraph C of the House, directs the commissioner to require demonstration providers to collect from healthcare homes data necessary to monitor implementation, measure quality and patient experience, and determine cost savings, and submit this data to the commissioners. The House requires draft standards for this data collection to be reported to legislative chairs, ranking minority members, and the department administration, and provides an exemption for these standards in Chapter 14, which is not in the Senate bill. There are technical differences. Then paragraph D is House only. This requires the commissioner to study the feasibility and the method of calculating savings from the use of healthcare homes in the managed care sector, including the methodology for distributing savings. Then Senate paragraph C, House paragraph E, requires demonstration providers to encourage enrollees to complete an initial health assessment within 3 months of enrollment. The Senate, again, refers to individuals who are at risk of developing complex or chronic conditions, and there are some technical differences. Then paragraph D and paragraph F, this directs the commissioner to require demonstration providers to develop, maintain, and ensure the implementation of a comprehensive care plan. The House refers to completion of a comprehensive health assessment and payment of a health assessment fee. This is not in the House bill. The House has a specific implementation date for this. The Senate requires the care plan to be based on a comprehensive assessment and other information. This is not in the House bill. And again, the Senate has language about enrollees at risk of developing a complex condition. Then paragraph E and paragraph G of the House requires the commissioner to implement financial arrangements to ensure that demonstration providers encourage each enrollee to choose a healthcare provider as a healthcare home. There's some difference in relation to the language about at risk of developing, and there are also technical differences. Then Senate Section 7, this is a Senate section only. This would increase the primary care physician reimbursement rate under MA for primary care physicians who agree to serve in an area in need of primary care physicians for not less than 5 years. It allows the commissioner to reconsider these designated areas as necessary. It also allows healthcare clinics and medical groups to submit applications to fill vacancies prior to the vacancy being filled. Then moving to page 17 of the comparison summary, these are next sections are House only. House Section 8 requires the commissioner to study the feasibility of paying the care coordination fee directly to healthcare providers. House Section 9 requires the Healthcare Transformation Commission to study changes in health professional licensure and regulation necessary to fully use advanced practice registered nurses and other professionals in the primary care and healthcare home systems. And finally, House Section 10 is a transfer of $1.39 million for fiscal year 09 and other amounts in future fiscal years from the Healthcare Access Fund to the General Fund. That would conclude the healthcare home article.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a couple of questions. The first one relates to these performance payments that are in the House bill at the beginning of this article that are not in the Senate bill. And I'm not entirely clear what the purpose of these performance payments are.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I think this is building on some existing language and an existing program, and I think it's just requiring collaboration in the development of the performance measures. So it's tied to the an existing patient incentive program.
Okay, then I guess the second question I have is in relationship to the language that's in the House bill about outreach to providers. And I guess the question that I have is, if managed care organizations in general in the bill are going to be certifying and trying to get providers involved in being healthcare homes, is there really a need for a separate effort by the Department of Human Services to do outreach to providers, since in general I would say the same providers are providing services to the fee-for-service population in our Medicaid program as are providing services to clients in the managed care programs, both within state government and without and within the private sector? Well, just a question people can think about it, I suppose.
And is that the one on subdivision 3?
Representative Abler?
Is that the one that you're talking about? I'm looking at the real language. R2A2, subdivision 2, and is that what you're talking about?
Senator Bergman.
The outreach plan?
I don't have the exact language in front of me, but it.
That's the language.
Yeah. That was a. That's for insurance. So that's a guideline. To encourage people who sell regular insurance to sell Minnesota care of it.
That's a. That was adopted in committee from Representative Gottwald to encourage people that sell insurance to also sell public programs. Give them some kind of a fee to enroll people, so they'd have a more broad-based chance to counsel families.
So this really doesn't have anything to do with healthcare homes.
It was in the outreach part, I think, is how it got stuck there.
Yeah, well, that helps a little.
Senator Berglund, your first question relating to performance payments, why that is under performance payments, I'm not sure, but this is asking the commissioner to collaborate with basically a national group that is trying to raise awareness of chronic illnesses. And if they're doing something to educate the public, maybe the state ought to cooperate with them if it's possible.
Is there a reason it's tied to the patient incentive program then?
Well, there might be, Senator Berglund, there might be ways in which our program incents people to, and this outside group might be having similar implementation of their plans with private groups. Maybe staff could answer my question. We have a large section of this that relates to the on the House side relates to people that are already doing demonstration or pilot projects, and the Senate part does not seem to relate directly to those kinds of providers.
Mr. Chairman,
while we're on the topic, that was one of my. I had two more questions, and one was, what is a demonstration provider? Does that mean that provider doesn't have to meet the standards that other providers have to meet to be a medical home?
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, demonstration provider is a term used in the prepaid medical assistance program statutes for, you know, basically an HMO serving state enrollees. And the demonstration provider term also includes county-based purchasing. So, you know, it's sort of a strange term that perhaps doesn't fit well, but it's the term used in statute to capture both the managed care plans under PMAP and the county-based purchasing plans that are also serving, you know, counties as an alternative to PMAP.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I always thought managed care contracts included both groups and that we didn't have to talk about them separately. I didn't think we had separate requirements for managed care if it's a county-based contract as opposed to a regular health plan contract.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, I think this is more of sort of a technical use of the term. I mean, I think you're right that, I think the vast majority of PMAP requirements also apply to county-based purchasing. I mean, the county-based purchasing statutes do say that. But the use of demonstration provider is something we had just talked with the department about, what would be the proper term to use to make clear that you're picking up both the managed care plans and county-based purchasing. So that was what was suggested. And that's also the language used in the PMAP statutes.
Well, it is a little confusing, I would say. And then the last question I had was in regard to this workforce shortage study. Is there a reason why this is being required of the Healthcare Transformation Commission rather than asking the Department of Health to do this workforce shortage study?
Go ahead, Representative Thiessen. You had, thought you had an answer to that.
Not that
Mr.
I'm
Chair.
Going to share.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this went on in the Finance Division, it was given to the Transformation Task Force to save money.
Well, just a comment. It doesn't really seem to be have very much to do with the other tasks that the commission is supposed to be working on.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Thiessen.
I guess I would disagree a little bit with that. I mean, I think one of the things that the Transformation Commission is all about is trying to figure out a way to pay for and provide services, including developing an evidence-based benefits act and all those kind of things. And I think this issue of allowing people to practice to the top of their license fits precisely within that realm. And so I actually think it fits well within the Transformation Commission's duties.
Well, I would say they have a lot to do by January of 2009. So I'm not sure they'll really pay enough attention to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the next article, Senate Article 3, House Article 2, deals with increasing access and continuity of care. Section 1 is Senate only, and this would authorize the commissioner to use money from the Health Professional Loan Forgiveness Program for dentists who agree to deliver at least 20% of their services to state public program enrollees. The percentage in the current law is 25%. Or dentists who have been trained in a foreign country receive a license in the Board of Dentistry and agree to provide services to a nonprofit organization, community clinic, or FQHC for at least 3 years. So this would be a new provision. The section also allows the commission to use money allocated for dental loan forgiveness for the dental scholarship program. And this would be Section 2 of the Senate language. Allows the commissioner to award at least 3 scholarships each year to foreign-trained dental students who meet certain criteria or current dental students who, again, meet similar criteria. Then House Section 1 is a House-only provision, requires the commissioner to use the Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or SAVE program, to verify immigration status for non-federally funded Minnesota Care enrollees, and it codifies existing practices of using SAVE to verify this for MA enrollees. Then,
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, I want to jump back to the dental statement in the Senate section. Just question why, if we're trying to increase access, we would drop the percent of encounters from 25% to 20%.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
This was a bill that was sponsored by, was a bill that was requested by the Dental Association. And the reason for changing the percentage is because this is the percentage that they have to meet in order to receive critical access dental funding. And so to have a different percentage in order to be able to receive loan forgiveness doesn't work out so well, and it seemed like there'd be a lot more participation if we made those align with each other.
Okay, Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, the next section is Senate Section 3, and this can be compared to the House Budget Bill, House Bill 1812, Article 23, Section 2. This deals with the automation and coordination for state health care programs. Paragraph A is identical. It defines state health care program. Paragraph B requires the commissioner to improve coordination between health care and social service programs and to use automated systems to identify persons served under a social service program who may be eligible for a state health care program. There's a difference in the effective date for this. The House language also would require renewal through the social service programs. Finally, the House would require the commission to report the estimated local and state costs of implementing this system and to provide some funding alternatives. Paragraph C would require the commissioner to establish and implement an automated process to send out renewal forms in the appropriate foreign language. Again, there are differences in the effective date. Then paragraph D would require the commissioner and other entities to update state health care program enrollee address and contact information at the time of each enrollee contact. There are differences in the effective date, and then the House requires the commission to report on the cost of automatically updating this contact information. Section 4 is Senate only.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I have to have a question, and I'm looking at the real language. Why is there nothing in the House side if you're referencing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, that's because the House language is in the House budget bill.
Oh, I see.
I think there's a decision being made that it shouldn't be in the House budget bill.
It shouldn't be in this conference.
In which case it would become free to this conference committee.
All right, thanks.
It doesn't really have anything to do with balancing the budget, so.
Because we can bring stuff in here anyway, can't we? If there's a House position on something that resembles this, it could be brought here anyway.
The two provisions are very similar, and the 1812 one has already passed the House. So.
Yeah, thank you.
There is a difference, however, where it gets paid. In the 1812, it's general fund.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the next section, the Senate Section 4, Senate only, it increases the application assistance bonus from $20 to $25 for organizations that assist potential state program enrollees. Section 5 is a Senate only.
Representative Thiessen.
On that increase from 20 to 25, is that based on information that will actually get more people enrolled, or is it just we actually have more money so we can increase the bonus?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Representative Thiessen, it was based on information that we would get more enrollment.
And as Mr. Chair, are these the bonuses? I'm not looking at the real language. These are being paid to the organizations?
Yes.
so they'll get more people enrolled for $5 more?
That's what George Hoffman says.
How many people?
We'd have to get the fiscal note out. I guess Mr. Godfrey has it on the tip of his fingers.
As usual.
Mr. Chair, members, Representative Thiessen, the difference between $20 and $25 came about in discussions with DHS and further analysis that their forecasting division has done. And essentially, they had concluded that the $20 bonus is insufficient to have any sort of enrollment effect and would essentially, on paper, not result in any new enrollment as a result of the bonuses. And they said that in order for the bonus to have some effect or have an enrollment effect, it would need to be set at $25. And so that's the difference between the two amounts. In terms of the number of people that it adds to the program, I can get that for you, but
okay.
That's the main difference in why that was chosen.
Representative Norton.
If I could go back to Section 3 for just a moment. Perhaps you've discussed this, but I would like to hear the answer. I'm wondering about the timeline of July 1st, 2009 for those coordination and developing and using automated systems and some other issues earlier this year. It seemed to me that DHS in particular had some computer timeline that their technical abilities were such that it might take them longer than the 2009 date in order to do things. And I wondered, did you have that discussion and are they able to meet that deadline?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator.
And Representative Norton, the difference here is that these are computer tapes that already exist. So praise the Lord, DHS doesn't have to invent a new computer system. All they have to do is figure out how to cross-manage these tapes.
Madam Chair, that was the question. So it's a system they already have in place, and we were told that in order to make any changes would require training, additional time, and funds, and you weren't finding that true in this section of the...
Mr. Chairman and Representative Norton, I haven't heard about this problem.
Okay. Thank you.
This doesn't mean it isn't a problem.
Yeah, this was aimed at the churn, and particularly in medical assistance, where people... move and then they don't get the mail and then they drop off the program, but they're also signing up for, in many cases, child support, WIF, other things, and so try to coordinate, keep track of if they've moved and let all the programs know that they've moved.
I think it's also a matter of, for instance, the WIC program. People eligible for the WIC program are pretty much going to be eligible for a healthcare program, but there might be people enrolled in WIC that aren't enrolled in a healthcare program. And so if we can just take our WIC enrollment tape and run it against our public program healthcare enrollment tape, then we could do a better job of targeting our outreach.
Representative Abler.
Just a technical thing. With that $20, $25 thing, I think that section we talked about, outreach, would be better balanced down in this section just for placement purposes about those reaching for the... for those insurance salesmen and nonprofit healthcare social service organizations, it just would be a better if as you match it up later on. It's on R2A2, the one that Senator Berglund asked about.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to follow up on the incentive programs with Mr. Godfrey, did DHS talk a little bit about how they decided 25 would work when 20 wasn't? Did they give you anything more than that, or is it?
Mr. Godfrey.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, we had conversations about that, and last year it seemed that $20 was sufficient in order to create the incentive, and that they had done some significant analysis of this proposal and relative to the forecast and how it related to the effect of the previous outreach funding that was done. And they just said if you would like to expand this program, that they would recommend that it be $25 because otherwise there would not be any bookable enrollment effect and we couldn't actually say that there would be any significant enrollment effect related to this provision. And so I think it was the position of the Senate that, indeed, we did want to create an enrollment effect with this, and therefore we would just change it from $20 to $25. But other than that, we would need George Hoffman or Sean Welch or somebody in here to really describe the nuts and bolts of that.
Thank you.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's a set appropriation, so going from 20 to 25 actually doesn't cost us any more money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's correct. It just, we have a set amount of money set aside for those bonuses. It just means that there would be slightly fewer of them given out in any given year.
Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, Senate Section 5 deals with the outreach requirements for school districts. It would require the district to provide information on how to obtain an application for a Minnesota healthcare program and application assistance instead of mailing the application to families who are eligible for a free or reduced school lunch program. Would also modify the requirement that districts provide follow-up services to families who are eligible for this free or reduced lunch program by instead requiring the district to provide application assistance and follow-up to families who have indicated an interest in receiving this information or an application. Then Senate Section 6.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you. And I was just wondering, one of the changes here is that we're not going to give people the actual application anymore, but just information on how to obtain an application from the school districts. Why are we changing that?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Representative Thiessen. This is language that was requested by the Department of Education, and the problem is that mailing out the application, I don't know how many pages it is now. You know, I know we're trying to get it down, but it is quite a few pages, especially with the addendum, and that mailing cost is not something that we have provided for the school districts. But when they're doing other mailings, they can easily send out, a little bit of information about how people can find out about the application form. And so that was what they proposed that they do to meet their outreach obligations.
Representative Thiessen.
Yeah, and I guess I'm a little curious of why school districts are mailing these out. I mean, I just get stuff sent home with me. Well, not with me, with my children, actually. It usually is me carrying it home. But so I'm not sure why they're incurring all these mailing costs. We're not requiring that these get mailed out.
Well, the current law does require that it be mailed out.
I'm looking at the actual language, and it doesn't.
Oh, we can look at that one.
I just think getting the application in people's hands is much more effective than providing information about how to obtain the application. And I just
okay, Mr. Chun. Okay.
Mr. Chair, Section 6 here. And House Section 2 deal with MA asset verification. The amendment to paragraph C would modify MA asset verification to require the commissioner to verify liquid assets. Under current law, the commissioner is required to verify all assets. The main difference between House and Senate here is the House would exempt long-term care services from this requirement. Then in paragraph D, House requires the commissioner to designate locations where enrollees may submit renewals and also requires these locations to forward the forms to the commissioner. The Senate allows enrollees to renew eligibility at designated locations if there's no change in the income or asset information, and again requires these locations to forward the forms. Section 3 of the House, this is a House-only provision, requires MA applicants and enrollees who are convicted of a drug offense to pay a fee of $150 if they test positive for an illegal controlled substance, and then would permanently disqualify an individual from the program if the individual has a second positive test result. And it provides an effective date of July 1 of 2009 or upon federal approval. Then House Section 4 This increases the AMA income standard for children under age 2 from 280% to 305% of the federal poverty guidelines. This is related to a maintenance of effort issue related to the SCHIP program. Then Senate Section 7, House Section 5 would increase the Minnesota Care Inpatient Hospital annual limit from $10,000 to $20,000. There are differences in the effective date for this section.
Okay, I think we're going to, unless there's questions, we're going to have to adjourn. And so if there's any questions right now, otherwise we'll wait till the next meeting. So with that,
what? When is that going
to be?
Tomorrow at 11 a.m. We'd like to
Committee. Madam, Mr. Chair, we have committee hearing that will probably run until 11:30 with everybody on this committee on the side of the table.
You have a what?
Is the committee going to be all that long?
Well, Mr. Vice Chairman, I did consult with the chairman when we set this time.
I thought
if we could just move it to 11:30.
Okay. 11:30, is that okay?
Is committee that long?
That would be fine.
Thank you.
You just took pills.
Okay, so the meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene tomorrow at 11:30.
Oh, is that a policy? Yeah.